Welcome back to The Junction, a podcast by Venn Technology about AI and automation, with all the jargon. Hosted by me, Mel Bell, and my co-host, Chase Friedman. We're thought leaders, industry experts, and visionaries, here to unpack the latest trends in AI and how we're using it. Listen for practical advice and a little bit of banter on how to improve your business and career by being at the junction of it all. We're so excited you're here. Let's jump in. Happy tax day.
We did it. Have you filed yet?
Yes. Have you?
It's like waiting to the last second, mainly because I do pay my taxes. I do pay them on time. I just tend to not really do them until like the weekend before. Well, lo and behold, I think I accidentally threw away one of the W-2, Rachel's W-2. And of course, she was asleep when I needed it. And anyway, we got it. Now I just need to file. So
got it.
It was a quick, I know my wife is going to be, I told you so, should have done it 3 weeks 1,000%.
Ago.
And I'm going to be like, nah, we got it. It's cool.
I'm team Rachel on this one.
I know everybody that listens that does anything tax related, they're going to be like, yep, you should have done it 4 weeks ago.
Here's what I'll say. So I loaded all of our stuff up like 2 months ago. And now they really have made it very easy to, I'm just using a pretty basic tax platform, but they suck in your W-2 electronically, even if you get it mailed to you for most.
Yeah.
And don't have a very complicated tax situation. We've talked about this. Got a couple dogs, don't have any kids. Those don't get anything for that.
You need a tax break for dogs. I had 3 dogs. Man, they were a lot. I had to vacuum my house like every day.
Oh, preach.
Yeah.
Thank God for Roomba.
No, Roomba's great. I love Roomba. I love the idea. But 3 dogs worth of dog hair, Roomba choke.
You still got to work around Roomba.
Yeah. No, but Roomba would choke and then I'd have to clean out the Roomba.
That too.
Anyway, end up cleaning out more things than I feel like I need to. So I just went back to my Dyson.
Well, the Dyson is one of the most unsung heroes of the entire household. I will tell you that. Dyson, like, it's a godsend. Dyson, Roomba, I've got this Norwex thing. Like, yeah, you've got dogs. You're definitely going to have to do some cleanup. But needless to say, none of that is a deduction on the tax return. But I had everything loaded up like 2 months ago.
Oh, for sure.
Come yesterday.
Yeah.
My husband's like, so we're going to file our taxes? I was like, you've got the login. File away. And you know who still ended up doing it?
You.
Me. He's like, oh, I just want to make sure just check all the things. I got suckered into it. He's like, I can't find the login. I was like, it's in 1Password. He was just telling me how much he loved 1Password, but mysteriously, when it came time to file taxes, couldn't find it in the shared vault.
It's like having to click the button. I'm sure some people got refunds and some people have to pay, right? And just not knowing 100% that you may be right or you may be wrong is like really makes some people anxious.
Yeah. Just got to pay the man. Well, so in honor of tax day, actually, this is a really happening topic. Thought would be cool to explore further how businesses are just looking at the tax outlook. There's a lot of automated solutions out there. Now companies are layering AI into this stuff. And a lot of finance professionals are figuring out, especially finance executives, are making this a top priority. Like Ernst & Young came out with this report, and we'll link this out in the show notes, that 96% of businesses say they're transforming their tax operating model in some way, shape, or form over the next several years. And some of it is to build out their own capabilities, but a lot of the report's findings showed that they're going to outsource or what they're, this new term I had not heard of, co-source. So it kind of supplements, hey, we're going to take some of the more repeatable tasks that are not considered high value, highly strategic.
Yeah.
And we're going to co-source that using either a firm or technology so that we can divert those finance resources internally to more strategic initiatives.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Obviously, the tax code is very complicated, right? Or you wouldn't necessarily have to figure out all that. But we're not just talking about personal taxes, right? We're talking about taxes when you send out an invoice, right? Taxes for registrations. Nexi is somebody came up with that, right? Wherever you have a Nexus, you have to register and I have to get filed all the time, right? So it's a really hot topic because it represents a significant liability to your business, right? And if you weren't charging sales tax before and you are now, it could be a significant amount of money for your recurring customers, right? But taxes are good in most cases.
Why are they so complicated though? I mean, that's the thing. I think this is what it keeps coming back to and why the trends are going the way they are.
Yeah.
Because it continues to get more complex. So as I was reading, because for those of you who are listening that don't know, I'm not an accountant. I'm not a tax accountant by any stretch.
Not yet.
None of it. Nope. I'll stay in my lane in sales and marketing. There's so much, especially if you are not just like going out of multi-state, but like multinational. That said, it's not just for the Microsofts and like the big multinational billion-dollar companies. A lot of what I was reading about, you know, the small growing, fast growing businesses is that you really should stay on top of it. Like now is the time to kind of lay the foundation for how you're going to set up your model, because it's just going to continue to get complex. And then when events happen like COVID-19, and then all of a sudden we're in this weird hybrid workforce place, and now they're adding environmental regulations, mm-hmm. and there's something else, this like BEPS 2.0, which, have you heard of that?
Actually, I have not.
Okay. Well, it's basically countries can impose different corporate tax rates on multinational companies.
Okay.
So, you know, it's like one of those things you could be operating and not even know, I guess, that you are.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the idea when you are charging sales taxes, you're charging what you should be collecting, right? So you can forward that money on to whichever government, municipality, and that's a tough word.
It's a tough one, yeah.
Right, whoever you're supposed to give the money to, right? And if you collect $5 and the man says, hey, you owe 10, well, yeah, go find that customer that's, you know, 3 weeks ago that picked up a sandwich at your sandwich shop, right?
It is really weird though, because when we started talking about this internally a few weeks back, and it's been a conversation for a long time, but I was reminded of this receipt that I got from it was clearly a Shopify store that I had purchased something from. I think it was a piece of apparel, something that probably came from a shop out. Well, maybe it wasn't out of state. I don't recall. All I know is there was this like Tarrant County crime tax or like Fort Worth something.
Really?
And I looked at my husband. I was like, what is that? And it was just this like really random kind of ticky tacky, like line item applied for some sort of tax that I didn't even know until after I essentially put this in my cart. And now it's time to file or, you know, charge my credit card. And you think about that. So if there's like, going back to the municipality example, one thing in a county or a city or a state, or you layer all those things and being able to collect on that based on where the buyer or where your business is, like I feel like that could become a spider web really quickly.
Well, it certainly is, because the way that it works, and if there are any tax professionals out there that want to tell me that I'm wrong, I'm happy to hear it. I'm wrong all the time. My wife tells me every day. Right. But there are, they call them rate tables, and it's when you are in this specific location, right? These different rates apply to you, whatever they are, whether they come from the federal government, the city government, your local city council, right? Like in this one moment, I just bought something for $10 and all of these different rates apply to come up to be whatever your total is. And what ends up happening, right, if you're lax on this kind of stuff, is that, well, you didn't know that the city of Arlington was now collecting, you know, a crime tax. Okay, I mean, not a lot, right? One order, not a big deal. Well, 10,000 orders, right, times, I don't know, $3, right, is now 30 grand. Well, you're not paying attention, right? You're just rocking and rolling because you're raking in the dough. Well, now you're at 100,000 orders times $3, and that's $300,000. What ends up happening, right, is you don't pay, and then that city sends you a forfeiture of notice to do the right to do business, right? So you can no longer do business there.
Yep.
Well, now you start racking up penalties, right? Maybe they're going to try to, I don't know, shut down your local store. Who knows? Right. So it all kind of boils back to there's a ton of information you have to manage.
Well, and let me just throw in a quick stat here to that since you went on the little tangent. The average small business pays somewhere around like 20% of its annual gross income in taxes. So there's like, and that may not seem like much, but every little bit counts. But why, again, I go back to like, why is it so difficult? So there's all these tools out there that help calculate tax on invoices. And like, how does one decide like the strategy that they need to go build? We probably can't lean in and provide advice on that. Like, no. Here's how to build out your co-sourced model. But we dabble in this world a lot. We talk to finance professionals all the time that they have an ERP, CRM, they have a payment processor.
Right.
They need to collect tax.
Well, you have, it's kind of, it's synchronous versus asynchronous. So when you go to Shopify, you need the tax right now because I'm about to click pay, right? So as a Shopify store owner, I don't want them to wait even 2 seconds, right? I need the instant calculation. And then you've got sort of the asynchronous deal where we can calculate tax within several seconds, right? And that doesn't really impact whatever workflow we're talking about. And so there are sort of two worlds in the automation space. One that is, maybe you could call it retail calculation, if you will, like on the fly, synchronous. And you've got asynchronous where like we could create an invoice today and then a couple seconds later, right, you get the tax rate and then you send out the PDF, right, of whatever is owed. And there's sort of two parties or two types of companies right now, at least from my experience, that handle this type of stuff. Stripe is getting heavy into this space. Synexis is another shop that we've been kind of talking with. So call out to those guys. There's TaxJar, which is what Stripe purchased. There's Avalara, there's Vertex, right? And both of them, all of these folks kind of focus in these two areas of, well, let me, from a, like, what's the tax number, right? Doing it asynchronously or synchronously. And so we are kind of focusing on the asynchronous side, right? What's the tax? Not leisurely, right? But what's the tax? Because I don't have somebody trying to beat down my door to give me a credit card. And the intent behind that is to take in the address where we need to calculate tax, send out the information to an API endpoint, and then return it. And so the integration itself is relatively straightforward, but the complication comes in volume, right? Like we could be talking about hundreds of thousands of orders. You know, it's not just one. I mean, if you're only charging tax on one order, then you may not have a nexi. You know, you're probably not going to have a nexus, or you probably don't care. Right. So we're certainly talking about decent amounts of volume, right? And between those two, if you're on a Shopify, you probably don't need something because Shopify is going to calculate tax for you and you're already paying for that service. So we've been primarily focusing in the asynchronous world where people don't know what the tax rates are, right? And once they get into it, they're not going to try to figure out all the rate tables because they change every day.
So why does a tool like or a publisher, let's say like Shopify, have this capability, but maybe my ERP doesn't?
Well, historically, the tax tables have not changed fast, right? Like 30 years ago, people would just pass, you know, a tax here or there, and then you could update the tax tables. When you go to the grocery store, a lot of the POS systems actually have the tax tables like in their on-store database, and they push new tables whenever they get updated. The challenge is that we're not talking about grocery stores where you go to the parking lot and you walk in with your dog and, you know, do your thing. We're talking about global, like, instant calculation. So if you're in Brazil and you want to check out and grab, I don't know, your leash, right? Right. I need instant tax calculation for you. And then me, I'm in Texas, right? And I'm going to buy right now too. Well, I need instant tax for that. So Shopify needs to have stored all of the different tax tables for almost basically anywhere in the world. So they've got a massive problem that they've solved. Businesses, the folks that we, I think, hopefully we're talking to today, right? They may operate in specific regions or specific areas of the world, and they're not necessarily set up to utilize the Shopify deal, right? Where tax can be calculated instantly. Like what we do, we'll spin up a contract, right? And the contract states that you will pay with three invoices. And we have to figure out, where's your, what's your address where we're going to send these?
And are you tax exempt?
And are you tax exempt, right? There's a lot of additional things that go into these asynchronous processes, because if you are tax exempt, you might still maybe have to pay tax in some situations, maybe not in the United States, but what about Brazil, right? I don't know if Brazil has non-exempt status. Anyway, you come up with all these questions, right? And it really boils back down to, well, I need to automate a lot of this. So we are building out integrations that allow us to connect to these services that will tell us the instant, near instantaneously, what the tax rate is for this particular kind of service for this particular address or location, if you will, right? So it works out really well because everybody wins. The customer pays what they're supposed to pay, the business owner. Well, I guess they still would technically have to have a liability because they get to give the money to the tax man, right? But they collected exactly what they're owed. And then the people that are providing the tax rates are incentivized to continue to update to make sure that they're right. Because if they're not, then I'm not going to be a customer. Anyway, I don't know. It's like this. It's like the most boring topic that is super hot right now because of all of the possible combinations and automations that you can build. So it's a really big topic for us.
It's gained even more traction, I guess, for the last, I'm not going to say the number of years, but like the digital filings and the, hey, we need real-time transactional information. That's really been driving, I think, a lot of these initiatives and why a lot of finance and accounting executives are and business owners are focused on it and trying to understand who can do it really well. And not just the who, but the how, like the tools. Because, with a lot of the stuff that we do, especially if it is, okay, it's not just you selling something on a recurring basis, but then there's all the other kind of like tax events that happen throughout the year. And you should be able to dial those up and dial those down almost like on an as-needed basis. And that's where technology can kind of fill in the gaps.
Right. So from another aspect too, maybe not to stoke fear, right? But a lot of these municipalities, are becoming technology advanced. So they have a faster way to determine, well, Mel hasn't filed her taxes yet. Oh, this other person, they filed $0, but I saw the line out the door. They're not sending in what they owe us, right? And now you're in
GOTs.
And now we're going to audit you, right? And they can audit everything, I mean, you're operating a business in their area. Like, well, now you just sign up for a whole world of pain because they're going to ask for everything, right? So doing it right is the best way to doing it. And doing it right the first time is always better than doing it wrong because ultimately you could be out of business. So long story short, lots of automation opportunities, right? So if you need help in this space, I know some people.
Yeah, I mean, I think with anything that we talk about, trying to take the technology out of it and really understand like what is the root issue, what are we trying to solve, and what are our key initiatives, and how can we utilize technology, but specifically automated workflows to boost our efficiency, but also in this case, protect the business and protect your resources. So finance and accounting, I keep seeing is kind of being one of those occupations that's sort of been on the list of like, it's hard to find talent. Not as many people maybe entering into that field, into the workforce. Mm-hmm. And so as much as we talk about diverting talent to other high value activities, if you are in the situation where you haven't been able to find or retain that level of talent, then, that's where another area where tools can fill in that gap.
Or you might be using a tool that's extremely expensive. I'm not going to point any fingers at anybody, but you probably know if you're paying a very large fee to whichever solution, right? There are alternative, cheaper, better, faster solutions out there, right? So it's always good to look. I think people get stuck in this idea that, well, it's the tax thing, right? We got to pay it. Whatever it is, we got to pay. But ultimately, there are more There's more solutions that are coming out to the market that where there used to be really only kind of one, right, for this sort of asynchronous type of setup.
So for the folks that we're talking with and building out integrations between tax solutions, and I think it's mostly the ERP, are there other kind of apps? What is that workflow?
Like yeah. That? Well, ERP is certainly hot for us, right? Because they are generating invoices that need to calculate the tax right now so that Mel can pay her invoice. Another spot where we're seeing this is in the CRM, so we can send out like estimated tax amounts. Right, nobody likes to see that. Well, your bill, I'm going to quote you 100 grand, and then they get the invoice and it's actually 120 because there's 20 grand in taxes. Right, nobody loves that. So another hot end is to calculate the tax based on the address that you gave me. Right, so when I go and give you a quote, you have accurate information. I mean, ultimately, we want to make sure that the customer knows what they're going to end up paying at the end of the day. Because if they sign on the dotted line, they're going to take it on the chin and pay the 20 grand anyway, right? But they're not going to be happy about it. So anytime we can provide that kind of information up front is super helpful. So we're doing that on the quote side, right? And in your CRM, so HubSpot, Salesforce, Sugar, right? Wherever you got some kind of quoting workflow or some kind of order workflow, that's a huge area where we can come in and provide that tax rate based on that address. And we can do it in significant amounts of volumes, right? So usually we don't see like hundreds of thousands of quotes, right? It's more about that communication, right? Ensuring that the customer knows what they're agreeing to pay so that when they get the invoice, they're not upset about it.
Sure. That makes sense. Well, I guess as we continue to see, you're actually headed off to San Francisco next week, Stripe Sessions.
Yeah.
I suspect there will be a lot of, discussion around all this stuff, like the world of payments and finance, like things that directly impact these functions.
Funds flows is like the topic that nobody loves to talk about. And then when you get into the weeds in it, it's very complicated. But Stripe has APIs that do all of this stuff automatically. Like intercompany transfers are, I won't call it a click of a button, right? But they bought TaxJar. The API for the tax piece is very interesting. A lot of capabilities that you get access to simply by utilizing this additional, I won't call it a tack on, right? But they're just enabling you to do more in one kind of spot, right? So you don't have to go to 10 different places to get access to this information. That whole payment space is big, right? More and more people are coming online, even in third world countries, right? And even in countries where like there's always been online, but people are now wanting to do business there, right? So think of like a Shopify, and this maybe not be the best example, but their customers, Shopify customers who want to do business in, Brazil or I don't know.
You got Brazil on the mind. What's,
okay, you, this is super nerdy.
You planning a trip? What's going on here?
There's a computer game called Victoria 3, and okay. They just came out with this DLC where you can be Brazil. And
what's a DLC?
Downloadable content. Thank you. Yeah. Your husband's going to be like, really? So I was playing Brazil. So, Shopify, right? You want to do business in Brazil. Shopify says we don't do it there. Well, they're going to push for it, which means if they do it for one customer that is on the Shopify platform, they're going to do it for the 300,000 customers, right? And they just opened up a world of like instantaneous payments. So anyway, this whole topic will continue to expand. And I think the interesting thought is that people probably don't think about, because it's not really sexy, right, is that when these cities realize that they can collect tax faster by introducing a crime rate tax, right, they're going to come up with,
like what I saw.
The dog tax.
There'll be something. Well, yeah, people walk through parks not picking up after the
okay, dog. Now they need That's to pick thing. Up. They need to pick up their...
They're paying someone to go pick it up after you.
They need to pick that stuff up.
Agreed.
They need to do that right now. Now, in my own backyard, like, I don't have a problem with it, but like in a public space, let's go. Anyway.
Yeah, because if everyone did that.
Exactly.
Just add up.
Oh, it's frustrating, right?
But that's why there's a tax for it, if there is, right?
So that's actually a great idea. Like,
no, I'm not suggesting we add the tax, but just like
some city is gonna be listening to this. You're gonna pass a dog poop tax.
Oh no. Well, let's move on to the next one because I think people are getting frustrated with the fact that we've beat taxes to death.
Yeah. It's tax day though, right? Like, woo, tax day.
Well, by the time this comes out, they will have either, you know, they will have paid their taxes.
Or they'll get a refund.
Yeah. For those of you.
I'm all about paying $0 because you either if you get a refund, you gave the government too much money. It's the same thing with sales tax. Oh, my gosh. Right? But if you owe money, you didn't give the government enough, and now the government is underfunded. I mean, okay, whatever. You get it. So.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it shakes out for everyone. I am going to connect with you when you're at sessions next week. I'm very interested in hearing about you know, what did you call it? The financial flows?
Funds
flows. Is that a new term?
I think it's Stripe specific.
Okay.
But it's basically like, you could think of Uber, right? Uber takes your $10 and you know that you're paying the guy driving the car, but Uber takes the $10, gives hopefully a majority of it right to the driver. Uber takes their share, but they also now owe tax, right? To whichever government that you were just writing in.
Mm.
So, Stripe calls these funds flows because your $10 gets split like eight different ways. Maybe not that many times, but like it's not just you're paying Uber. You're paying the driver. You're paying Uber. You're paying somebody's taxes.
My driver better get paid. And I get him those rating. He better give me a good rating too.
What do you know, like a 4.8?
4.95. I just actually got into a let's call it a healthy debate on Saturday night about my Uber like rating.
Yeah.
And you talk about frustrated. Why doesn't Uber like give you a summary of how many trips you've taken?
Mm.
That would be a very easy feature. I think they're holding that back for
like
some reason.
Like a recap?
Like I want to know that I've ridden, I can tell you, you know, okay, you've been a rider since let's just say 2014.
Yeah.
How many thousands of trips is that? Because somebody's 4.9 on three trips is nothing on my 4.5 on 3,000 trips.
So when I tell you that I also have a 4.95, you're going to say, well, I've ridden 30 more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I want to be able to do.
Oh, right. Next time.
It's a really selfish feature request.
You know, that reminds me of like the credit thing that China has. It's like the social credit deal. Mm. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Basically, like if your score is really low, and maybe actually this is kind of the same thing. Like if your score is really low in Uber, like you can't ride, right?
I have heard that they do prioritize like a higher rating. I'm very protective of my rating. If I, you know, like you're going with a group, I tend to be a bit more of like the.
I'll pay you.
Yeah. I'll book it on the beginning of the night, not the back half of the night.
If you ever get to ride with Mel in an Uber, make sure you go cray. So she gets a one star.
I'll just use my code word. Get out.
Orange Julius.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, so you had a hot take. I think you wanted to share.
Oh yeah, guy on Twitter. So head of I can't ever say Meta. Meta. I don't know how they like. Meta. What's the brand announced? Like, how do you pronounce it? Meta.
Yeah.
Okay. I hear some people say Meta, like PETA from.
Really?
I don't know.
You've heard it that many different ways.
Yeah. I think it's just accents, right? I don't know. Meta, right? Facebook head of chief AI scientist, right, says that we will experience, and I'm paraphrasing here, we will experience AGI at some point in our lifetime, right? But it's not happening next year. And it's not going to be with the large language models that we have today.
And for our folks who are new here, who are still getting up to speed on all the incredible amount of acronyms that are available into the world, can you just break down a quick AGI versus AI? Like
AGI, automated general intelligence.
And how does that differ from AI, what people kind of know as?
I'm certainly going to get roast for this, right? AGI could be automated general intelligence or artificial general intelligence. Depends on which.
Generative. There's all.
I think it all gets kind of mixed up, especially with so many people in the world talking about
But what
about
makes
this.
You differentiate AGI versus AI versus, right?
artificial general intelligence, in my view, is something that is that the intelligence is so good that it's beyond every person's individual intelligence, right? Like, you could talk about marketing. This thing's better than that. Like, any better than you, right? Better than me. Better than anybody. Better than the best person in the entire world. AGI represents the best of the best, but beyond the human capability. Maybe almost to the extent, right, where they can come up with stuff that has never been developed before.
So AI is a set of systems that can perform tasks to the level or with instruction from a human, whereas AGI can on its own with human-like intelligence.
So AI, right, artificial intelligence is something that you can work with and it knows some things. Artificial general intelligence is this idea that represents like they know everything about everything and they can come up with stuff that has never been thought of before. Think of like vaccines, right? In theory, like AGI could come up with a vaccine for cancer, for all cancers, and do it in relatively short order.
And they're not programmed to do that.
Exactly, right? They just have so much intelligence about all these things that you could say, hey, AGI, I need to solve stage 4 breast cancer with a vaccine that looks like this. And in theory, right, it could spit something back that says, well, you should do something that looks like this. And in theory, you could, you know, make the vaccine and it would actually cure the cancer. That's what artificial general intelligence is like. Or automated. If you go down the automated route, it's more of like a, well, it knew in advance that there's all these things or all these problems and it would just start spitting out answers, right? Solutions to those.
So this hot take is that it's going to, AGI is going to run all over everybody's jobs and take away most of what we're doing today and most of what is what we would consider, you know, our high value added tasks, our original thought, our creativity,
right.
Our.
Well, so if you follow the news as much as I do, maybe I don't need to do this as much, right? But if you follow the news, even over from this past weekend, so if this comes out on Friday, right, this would have been the weekend before taxes were due. There were a lot of folks on the phone, on Twitter or whatever X it is, you know, whatever socials, that were coming out and saying, you know, basically fear-mongering of like, well, ChatGPT is going to take 80% of the workload and your workload will be reduced by 80% in scope. There were some others that were kind of similar, right? Like, we've got a year until the world is going to fall apart. Anyway, I can't remember every single name, but they were high level, like the Elon Musks, you know, they were like, I don't know about that. But you've got multiple people saying the same kind of thing. And you're kind of like, maybe, right? Well, now you've got another high level guy that's actually very, very intelligent coming out saying, no, actually, that might happen, right? But it's not happening with today's technology, nor the technology that's being developed right now. So it's just like a realistic gut check of, well, we might have a component of AGI, but we don't have all of the components. And it's probably going to be a while before that actually happens. So I think less of it as like a fear-mongering thing and then more of a, like, things are changing, at least in the last 18 months, have been changing so quickly you cannot keep up with them, right? And when you have something like that, it's almost like a runaway deal where the biggest corporations will take advantage of those things and the smallest will just, I mean, ultimately die, right? Anyway, my takeaway is that people need to tap the brakes a little bit, right? We need to learn what we're capable, what these things are capable of doing right now, and then not worry so much that your job is going to be gone. I think in my hot take is that we've got 5 to 10 years before we even get close to something that is AGI. It'll just start to blur a little bit more, right? Like, what's a good example? Like the internet, right? The internet just kind of slowly came in, maybe not slowly. I don't know which timeline you're on, but ultimately I don't see this being as like the Armageddon, right? Like the revolution where the robots came in and whatever.
Do you do, is there something that you do to ground yourself when it do you get a level of like, ooh, this is kind of scary?
I think what I've been doing, and people probably just don't, maybe are not capable of doing this or just don't want to do this in the evening, right? But I like play around with this stuff just to toy with it, right? Not to like jailbreak it or do weird stuff at all whatsoever. But more so like, okay, well, what if we try to do this thing? Actually, you may remember this. I built a whole website, automated it. I created the, well, I didn't create any content. Set up this whole thing. I don't want to put the domain out there. It's actually still live. I turned off the content generation, right? But I'll just toy with it to see what's possible. And where I hit walls is where I'm like, ah, yeah, well, I can't do that. So whatever that is and whatever domain that's in, like, we're good, you know?
So that's interesting. So when you start to feel maybe overwhelmed by it, or it, maybe it's not even that, you're just like, let me go test it and see if it's actually up to the par of what people are saying.
Yeah.
You do an exercise of, let me go to recess with this AI, right? Yeah. And you go play. Yeah. What I do is I go back to like a, I play this game with myself and I think, what's the last thing that I did that AI couldn't do? Mm. And I play this exercise of many, many episodes ago, I challenged you to a back and forth of what is a job some, you know, AI isn't going to take anytime soon.
Oh yeah.
We go back to like fly fishing, which you've since like come up with a theory about that. But, you know, if I was to play that right now, you know, I attended a crawfish boil over the weekend and I went to see three bands play some live music and I saw like 50 pitmasters smoking barbecue. And I think people love that. There were so many people at that event. And if it was just a bunch of robots and avatars and like, that wouldn't be any fun. That's not going away. So I try to like, it's not that that's the answer, but when you kind of can easily start to spiral on this stuff and go, oh, yeah. Well, what does that mean for my job or for my existence? And what does 5 years look like? And I don't know, maybe that's just an encouragement to anyone listening that if it starts to feel overwhelming, think about that thing, that very human activity or human connection that you had recently, and really challenge yourself to think, it's not just that AI can do it, but maybe we can decide whether or not we want it to, right? We still have choice, at least for now.
I really like that. I think if, let's just say, ChatGPT 5 comes out and automates 100% of your job. And there was some other article that I saw today that was like, well, if that happens, everything is going to cost a penny. Like, great. Now everybody can do everything. And I like looking at it. I love that take. Like, if everything costs a penny, well, what would you really do? Like, I probably play more video games, right? And the people that love to cook would probably cook some more, you know? Like, wherever this is going, it's not going to take the human out of it. It's not going to take the creativity out of it because we're just going to start doing more of what we love. And that's what we like to say at Ben. We get you back to what you are good at. You could also say what you really love.
Yeah, that's great. Well, let's end it on that note.
It's like heartwarming, you know, like, man, I can't wait to play more video games.
We went
games.
From this like really scary to like the warm fuzzies.
Half the people have already checked out because they're like, oh, they're fear mongers.
No, that's what I was trying to say. Don't be afraid.
Yeah, but they're already gone. The people that are stuck around, we should ask them for fan mail, you know?
No, that defeats the purpose.
Oh, okay, no fan mail.
You don't ask for fan mail. Right. You just get fan mail.
Mel, if you want to send me fan mail, that's cool.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for sticking around. We had so much fun talking about taxes. I didn't think it was going to be as fun as it was.
Can you even say fun and tax in the same sentence?
Yeah.
We just did.
Well, the way we talked about it. Next week, though, I'm going to go ahead and catch up with Chase. He's going to be at Stripe Sessions, so we'll do this virtual. And I'm really excited to hear about what is going on in the world of finance and finance flows, the flows of money, alt funds flows.
The money flowing back and forth.
All back and forth, yeah.
World goes round.
Yeah. In the meantime, if you have an idea, a topic, a question, a hot take about AI and automation, we would absolutely love to hear it. email us at thejunction@ventechnology.com. In the meantime, keep it automated.